And welcome to the Killer Frogs, a podcast all about TCU athletics from the fans' point of view. We are back with episode 206 for August 30th of 2024. My name is Sean Fouché, and joining me, as always, TCU Hall of Famer Shannon Brazil. How are you doing, Shannon?
I'm doing great. It's great to be back, baby. It's football time. Can you smell it?
How much have you been itching all week long to say that?
All week, man. August is good. It's my birthday month.
Yes. Kids go back. By the way, happy birthday.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
You're
kids
welcome.
Go back to school, so they're out of my. They're out, and football starts. I love August, man. I love it.
So see, not only are kids out of the house, you got one in college now, right?
Frog. She's a frog, man.
Oh, yeah, man. That's awesome. That
is fantastic. Man.
Yeah, mine just started her sophomore year at Abilene Christian. So,
Oh, okay. Yeah.
But, it is.
Yeah,
we get to that age, and they leave the nest.
Yes.
Yes.
Well,
but
sort of.
Sort of.
I can't tell. Yeah. She's still begging me for everything.
That won't change.
Never.
I'm just going to say that right now. Also joining us on the podcast is Jordy Sandy. How you doing, Jordy?
Doing good, man. I'm fired up, ready to get this thing going. Sitting here next to Shannon, he's got me juiced up for the season, so
yeah.
Ready to get this thing going.
Shannon does that. He has that effect on people. You know, it is going to be a very interesting season for sure, and we're going to actually start off a little bit about one of the most interesting things that happened over the offseason was this new look Big 12, right? Big 12 has now expanded dramatically from what we originally thought a couple years ago. And now we are sitting with so many teams that aren't traditionally Big 12 teams. And we'll kind of talk a little bit about how the press has handled this recently. But I want to kind of go through this. And let's talk a little bit about y'all's perspective on this new Big 12. So, Shannon, as a Denzian of conference hopping and moving from conference to conference from Southwest to the WAC and everything
all
that,
over the place,
you are familiar with this
and
having teams that aren't quite traditional Texas teams. How do you feel about this new Big 12?
I'm excited for it. I mean, I'm excited to have more than 12, Big 12 have more than 12 teams in it.
You know? Or more than 10, right?
Right? Yeah. I mean, it makes for exciting football because, you know, any given week, you know, you don't know what's going to happen, but we're traveling different places. We're not all in, you know, Texas and going to Oklahoma, but I'm excited for it. I'm excited for to have two divisions. I'm excited for the new playoffs, which we'll talk about, and to see how we're going to hold up in the Big 12, in the new Big 12, here in Fort Worth, because I was told that there's no team in Dallas, there's some things about Dallas and Fort Worth. Well, we don't know what's going on in Dallas, right?
Yeah,
we know what's going on here in Fort Worth.
We'll get to Kalashaw's article a little later on, for sure. Yeah.
We know what's going on here in Fort Worth, and I expect us to be able to compete in this new Big 12 and still be Horned Frogs, as people know us to be.
Yeah, so Jordy, how do you feel about this? I mean, as somebody who played in the last iteration of the Big 12, how do you feel about some of these newer teams coming in? You know, the Arizonas, Colorado obviously coming in. How do you feel about that?
Yeah, I think it's great. Obviously provides our guys with a new opportunity to play some of those teams that we don't normally get to see. I'm honestly not too disappointed that team in Austin's gone. And then obviously with Oklahoma gone as well, and then some of the new teams coming in. Like I said, I just think it's a great opportunity for us to go out there and show some other teams what we can do. And yeah, I'm just really excited for the guys.
Yeah, it seems like there's a lot of parity now in this new look Big 12. I mean, recently I think a lot of people are kind of scratching their heads when the charts came out and they ranked the best talent on all the teams in the Big 12, and TCU actually ranked first, BYU being last. And a lot of people, when they first saw those rankings, they were kind of like, ooh, really? But then when you start digging into it, you realize there's only 4 points separating BYU from TCU. So there's obviously a lot of parity and a lot of talent across this Big 12. How do you think that's going to shape up for the conference in total this season?
Well, I mean, again, the Big 12's got a bunch of talent in it. And as you just said, it's, you know, that those stats you just listed, you know, there's a 4-point difference. But, you know, there's a lot of talent on all these teams. Everybody's geared up for the long haul. But, listen, nobody's played the first game yet. This first week is going to tell us everything we need to know about our Frogs, the Big 12 in general. And I'm excited to see and sit back and watch this weekend how our district, how Big 12 conference pairs up to everybody else. So, listen, I'm excited for it. The Big 12 is going to be the Big 12. You're going to have some running. You're going to have some spread offenses. You're going to have some points and that's what we want anyway, right? So I'm excited for it, and can't wait to see our Frogs play here Friday night.
Yeah, so Jordy, we've got five teams out of the Big 12 being ranked in the top 25 to start the season. A couple of surprises out there, right? But overall, what do you think the Big 12 needs to do in order to kind of cement themselves, again, kind of moving forward from a perception-wise, as a Power 5 conference?
Yeah, I think some of those teams you mentioned in the top 25, I think they're going to provide really great competition. Like, you got teams like Utah coming into the conference who've, you know, they've been a powerhouse for a long time. It's kind of a good measuring stick, I think, for TCU. And, yeah, the Big 12 as a whole, there's still great teams, as Shannon said. There's still great players running around. And I think you're going to see it's going to be very competitive, and I think it's going to stack up pretty well with some of the other conferences and teams, which we've seen in previous years. Honestly, the Big 12, you know, usually competes pretty well with some of those out-of-conference teams.
Mm-hmm. Well, I know you said you were a little disappointed that the team down in Austin left. I don't know how many Frog fans share that sentiment, but the fact was is that they were the Big 12 representative in the college football playoffs last year. Of course, they lost. Leaving TCU as the remaining Texas school to ever win a college football playoff.
Yes, indeed.
not that anybody's counting. But, Shannon, you mentioned the new-look playoffs that we have this year. And how do you think? Do you think the Big 12's going to get a couple teams in there? Do you think we're going to do well in this new-look playoff?
Well, I have, you know, I do. I have Utah in. I have Colorado in.
Colorado, okay.
Yes, I think they'll make a push to be there. Listen, I like Kansas State. I like that quarterback is hot. Again, I'm probably telling on some of the games that you're going to probably make us pick here later on. But listen, there's a handful of teams, maybe three or four teams that I have making the playoffs because they have such a great group of guys coming back. Utah coming off injuries. If you saw what Utah did last year with injuries, and they have just about all those guys coming back this year. I'm telling you, they scare the heck out of me. And that's going to be a challenge for anybody week in and week out. So I have, you know, three, four teams potentially making it again. I'm gonna have a lot more to say our next show because I'm going to have a week underneath our belt of watching everybody in the Big 12 play.
Yeah, it's going to be a very interesting opening week. And you mentioned some of the games that were coming out. And I just want to add, we're not going to go through all of these because obviously, you know, you've got some of them like UCF is playing New Hampshire. Right, you got your typical kind of week one conference slate, or if you're in the SEC, week 10.
Yeah,
I mean, you know, that's kind of what you expect out of the SEC in week 10, right? There are a couple of really good games, though, that we do kind of want to talk about a little bit here. First off, let's stop off in North Dakota State at Colorado, right? This is kind of one of those interesting matchups. Colorado, new to the Big 12, right?
Yep.
We all know about Dion. We know about the turmoil in the offseason. North Dakota State is not a pushover team.
Right.
How do you guys feel about that game?
My thought is I don't care when you have a Dakota, West Dakota, anything. Dakota,
any
North
directional
Dakota.
Dakota.
Any Dakota, you have a problem. People cannot underestimate those teams. They're going to play. I mean, that Oklahoma State, they're going to get challenged by South Dakota. It's just they play good football up there, and that's all. I mean, I know that's all they have to do, but if you just do the research, if you do the research on North Dakota,
sorry for
hard,
all the fans out there from Dakota.
Hey, listen, facts are facts.
Yeah.
You know, ice fishing and football. So I think, listen, Colorado's going to get pushed this weekend. Don't be surprised. This team is going to get after them. You know, I just look at it as the Hollywood group, you know, and all that versus a great football organization who plays football week in, week out, year after year after year, is going to come and hit these guys across the chin, and they better be ready for it.
Yeah, Jordy, how about this Penn State-West Virginia game? How do you feel about that one?
Yeah, I think West Virginia is going to be ready to play. Obviously, playing at home, they've got a big advantage up there. The crowd's pretty wild, seeing some things up there.
As somebody who's played in Morgantown, I mean, what is that like? What is the atmosphere like in Morgantown?
I think the first time we played there was during COVID, so there wasn't as many fans as you typically get, but it was probably worse in the sense that, you know, you can actually hear what people are saying to you. So it's funny because, the second time around that we played, crowd was pretty wild, and you can't really hear so much what they're saying, but it's just kind of an echo in your ear. But obviously, like, that's such a cool place to play too, with the, you know, country roads and, but yeah, in saying that, those guys are going to be ready to play.
Start singing John Denver for us?
I don't know. I don't have much of a singing voice, so I might leave that to the pros.
Well, I think that's going to be an interesting game, and I agree with you. I think it being at West Virginia is going to be a fascinating matchup. I think it's going to be a good one to actually watch. Shannon, you mentioned Oklahoma State. It is South Dakota State. Do you think they're going to be pushed around? Do you think that's going to be a challenge for Oklahoma State?
Well, just, you know, how first we go, I just think, you know, Oklahoma State's, you know, one of the teams that I look at is going to be a Big 12, I won't say contender, but a team who's going to play week in and week out, and you're going to
certainly have a great running back.
Exactly. Yeah. That's, you know, so they just have to be ready. Again, it's easy this first week, and as I'm looking over the schedule, again, most of these guys, you know, the Baylors, obviously, you know, TCU, you know, BYU. When you look at some of the teams they're playing, they should win these games handedly.
Definitely.
But the ones that scare me a little bit is, you know, the South Dakota game, the North Dakota game. And guys taking them a little lightly just because of where they're coming from. So my thing is, those are the two games I'll be looking at to see if they, you know, see what kind of push. I think Oklahoma State will handle these guys because, again, they're not Hollywood. They're not going through what Colorado's going through on a week in, a week out basis. So I believe they will handle South Dakota apparently like they're supposed to.
Right.
But again, Colorado. With all the hoopla, we see it week in, week out when you turn on Google or whatever else.
Hoopla or clown show, depending on where you're looking.
Yeah, I mean, so I just think, you know, that they'll get lost in their sauce, and South Dakota's going to break it to them.
All right. Jordy, do you see anything here that is troublesome? Any possible upsets in week one for the Big 12?
I think that the game Shannon was just talking about, I think Stillwater's a tough place to play as well, but I'd be very surprised if South Dakota State aren't ready to come play, just like North Dakota against Colorado. These teams, like, they're preparing for these games, you know, all off season. Whereas some of those Colorados and Oklahoma State, they're probably looking ahead a little bit, just trying to get the dub and get out of there. But yeah, these teams are going to bring it to them. But yeah.
Yeah, but I think for the most part, I think everybody else is looking at. They should, like you said, Shannon, they should be able to handle business. Yeah. I mean, I would, just for my daughter's sake, I'd like to see the Wildcats beat the Raiders.
There you go.
I don't necessarily think that's going to happen in Lubbock, but, right. You know, one can hope.
Right.
It'd be a nice way to start the season for Texas Tech. So the Big 12, I think we've all agreed, it's going to be interesting. It's going to be a fascinating league moving forward with some amazing travel locations. Mm-hmm. I mean, remember back when Utah and BYU were part of the same conference,
yes,
as TCU?
Yes.
Some of the most beautiful parts of the country we get to actually travel to. Mm-hmm. Arizona, as long as it's later in the season, it's going to be fantastic, right? So I think it's going to be really interesting to see how the Big 12 kind of shapes up. Of course, one of the biggest issues moving forward is going to be the drumbeat from the media, especially here locally, unfortunately. Basically saying the Big 12 just doesn't have it anymore. You lost Oklahoma, you lost Texas, even though Texas pretty much was dominated by TCU the entire time we've been in the conference.
Thank you. Thank you.
And we kind of end up with articles like in the Dallas Morning News today by Kalishaw, where Tim Kalishaw is basically just saying, look, yes, these are very interesting games, but nobody in the Metroplex is going to care about Utah playing Utah State, right? Or some of these games like UCF playing New Hampshire or Kansas playing Lindenwood and things like this. And you know, I get it. I mean, these are kind of those cream puff kind of games you kind of get out of the first week. Or, like I said, the 10th week if you're in the SEC. But, I mean, overall, I think that that's going to kind of be the drumbeat. And I hope that these five teams that start off in the top 25 – are not the only five that find their way in the top 25 this year and help kind of quiet those critics as the year goes on. And I hope we have a couple of teams make the playoffs this year. I think it's going to be an interesting year. And I think parity is kind of going to be the buzzword around this particular league. But with that being said, let's talk a little bit about TCU and what we have learned from fall camp. We've been out from the entire offseason. Mm-hmm. We have a new defensive coordinator. We still have, looks like Hoover's going to start for us at quarterback. We've got some guys coming back. We have some guys that are hurt. We got some new look, like I said, on D. So let's kind of shake this down a little bit, guys. Shannon, let's start with you. Defensively speaking, what are you hearing? How do you think this new defense is going to work out for TCU this season?
Well, first of all, I'd like to go back to your comment about the article Tim wrote, and he asked a question, and I would like to answer it. He said, is there a Dallas team, is Dallas still a Big 12 city? And to that question, I say no, because they would never were, and that team is not in the Big 12 anymore. That team is now in a division where, anyway. But Fort Worth, Funky Town, Fort Worth, yes, we are.
Right.
We always been. And I don't care who left the division, because if you look at the record between us and Texas, it shows you who had the upper hand every time we played each other. And Oklahoma's just Oklahoma. We'll see how they pair up in the big the SEC. So there's that. But to answer your question about TCU's defense, what I hear, I love the new defense, actually. I love 4-3 because it's built to not only stop the run, but it's built to throw quarterbacks off, throw offenses off, because it's hard. The best way to show blitz, the best way to show your defense is to do things when you're not coming, to throw people off. So you'll see a lot of movement. You won't see people stagnant, just sitting still, because that you're easy to now pick up. You're easy to now read in that defense. And so with your linebackers going in and out and your safeties coming up and down and your D linemen shifting, and as they do, it throws you off. People are constantly moving. I like that. Opposed to last year when you just had the 3-4, well, it's very easy to pick that up. You got three people trying to rush against five. That's easy.
Yeah, we saw that over and over and over again.
We saw that story week in and week out, and we didn't like it, you know. And so I'm excited to see cornerbacks play. I hear, you know, again, we have some injuries in the back, but I feel the best way to conquer that issue is you put pressure on the quarterback and you have your two solid corners, lock down those corners to give your safeties and your strong safety some time, right? And so I think we'll be okay. I can't wait to see us play. I don't know every player yet. I know we have a strong linebacker core, which I'm excited about. But I can't wait to see us play on Friday night so I can really, you know, see what we're about, see our depth, see what we're playing with. And then see basically from that game how we're going to mesh up against the rest of the conference, because I will Saturday see everybody else play.
Yeah, I think that's a fair point. It's a good point about this style of defense. And right now, the biggest question mark is in the secondary.
Yeah.
All right, you got a couple of young guys. And yes, Bud Clark voted on as captain. Fantastic, fantastic player. You got two seniors coming back as corners. You're going to have to rely on those guys to shut down these wide receivers and allow these younger safeties to get into position, right? Because if they're going to be tested time and time again, I don't know how much this secondary is going to be able to hold up if the opponent's going to go deep almost every other play.
Well, and to that point, that's why you can run a nice zone out of that. You could also drop a linebacker, which we have linebackers who can cover.
Yes.
The pressure game is going to be we're going to have to put pressure on the quarterback, stop the run, to give these guys some time, until they get healed or whatever the case may be. So that's why I love the defense, because – when you have last year's defense and the quarterback can sit back there and just pat the ball and throw all over the football field, that's when we'd be in trouble in the secondary. So with the great front that I hear we have, I'm yet to see it. I can't wait till Friday. I think we'll be okay based off what I've heard, and I know Jordy's been to a couple practice. I hadn't got a chance to do that myself, but, man, listen, it won't take me but a quarter to find out what we're about. Once I get zoned in, I know the system we're running, I'll know exactly what I need to know from that point on.
Yeah, so, Jordy, the interesting thing about the defensive line this year, we'll just stay with defense for a moment, we've got a really good, solid, big interior of this defensive line around a pretty decent nose tackle, but the experience isn't quite there yet. So how much do you think they're going to kind of lean on these edge guys like McDonald, who was a transfer from, was it San Diego State? Mm-hmm. How much do you think they're going to have to rely on those guys on the edge rush?
Yeah, I think that's really important, kind of, you know, rotate a lot of guys through there. We got another transfer, Devin Deal. I think he's from Tulane. His brother Marcus already with the team. I would expect to see him play a lot, even backs. And then, you know, you got Marcel, who's listed as a four string at the moment. I'm sure he's going to play maybe on some third down packages and stuff. But yeah, I think it's important that we are rotating those guys with younger guys going through. You know, they play with high energy, and from what I'm hearing, that defense, the guys are just going to be flying around. So yeah, I'm excited to watch them go do their thing and get after it.
Yeah, I certainly heard during fall camp the linebacker core is all over the place, and I don't mean that in a bad way. I mean they are flying to the ball. Yeah. They are just absolute ball hawks right now. And I think with Johnny Hodges back there, I think, like you said, I think we've got a couple linebackers now that can actually do some pass protection. I think that's going to be fantastic.
Right.
Question from the audience. This is new.
Talk about the linebackers.
Yeah, a little bit. I think the information that I've heard from him, where is he in the depth chart right now? I think he is sitting in two behind Hodges, right? Middle linebacker, isn't that right?
Yep.
Yeah, so junior, middle linebacker. Yeah, yeah. I think the interesting thing about Orr is that, again, he's one of those guys that can actually pass block, and he can be really good over the middle. So I see him as a guy who's going to be able to rotate in, especially in kind of like those passing situations, mm-hmm. and where you're going to rely on the front line in case they decide they want to do, you know, something like a delay run or something like that, you're going to rely on those guys, but you're going to bring him in to really kind of help shore up that middle of the field, especially when you have, you know, bring a tight end over, which seems to kind of be something that really kills us over the last couple mm-hmm. of years when you're dealing with a tight end. So, yeah, I like Orr. I think Orr is going to be a really good addition here. And I think he's going to do really well in this particular scheme.
Ditto. But he's behind the boss, man. Mr. Hodges is the real deal.
He'll get playing time, though, for sure.
He's going to get playing time, and especially with his defense. So I see him, like you said, over the middle, covering the tight end, things of that nature, because I hear he's a great pass cover guy.
Well, let's move over to offense. So obviously, like we said earlier, no surprise, Hoover is going to be starting. And I think, you know, Jordy, from what we saw in fall camp, there was some mixed results. I guess it was kind of like it depends on which day you're talking about.
Yeah, for sure. I think the big thing with the offense is, like, we've got so many pieces. I think offensive skill positions in particular, like, we're stacked. Like, I go down the list and look at guys, you know, who are, like, second and third in the depth chart, and I'm like, these guys are starting it. You know, a lot of other schools.
The wide receiver room is crazy.
Yeah, it's absolutely stacked. So, I mean, at the end of the day, offensive line looks after Josh and, you know, distributes the ball. I mean, now we can do that. I think a lot of it comes down to the offensive line. And for me, that's like a wait-and-see position. I think after this season, after this first game, we'll know a lot more about, you know, where everything sits. But I think, yeah, with Josh having a year under his belt with Coach Bryles, he's going to be ready to go, and yeah, I'm excited for Josh. He's such a good dude, and I know the guys love him, so I'm sure they're going to rally around him.
Well, if guys like Savion Williams to pass to, right, or J.P. Richardson or Dylan Wright, you've got an unbelievable group there, but yeah. Then you bring in somebody like a Dabney, transfer from Baylor, who is a beast,
yep.
Right, and he comes in. That totally changes the dynamic of what you can do throwing the ball around. But then you end up with guys like Cam Cook and Trey Sanders as your 1-2 running back trio. I kind of feel like everything is going to be anchored around this offensive line this season.
That's exactly what I was thinking about, because you have so much speed. You have so many weapons to get to. My thought as you're talking is, are we going to run the quick system? I don't know what they call it. I just call it the rush offense kind of thing. And what kind of shape is our offensive line in? Because if you can do that, and those guys can you know, contain their windpipes and get up and get down to the next play, man, between the running, Mr. Cooks and Mr. Wright and all the weapons we have, it's going to be an explosive offense is what I'm hearing. But already what I see based off the new offense – and, I'll say new offense, new people at these positions. But I'm excited to see, you know, how many points we can put up and then what our run games look like behind Mr. Cook. That's going to be special because that guy can go.
So I've got a question for you, Jordy. During fall camp, did we see any two tight end packages. Because when you got a guy like Dabney coming in and you have a guy like Curtis, obviously you want to get both those guys on the field. Did you see anything with the two tight end package?
Yeah, I'm not going to lie to you. I spent most of my time watching special teams. So,
no, big surprise.
No, I think you'll see a lot of the time. Coach Bryles likes to mix it up. I think you'll see a lot of, you know, Dabney, Curtis, DJ Rogers even. And I know Lafayette's got a lot of talent too. So I'd imagine you'd see a lot of two tight end sets. But, yeah, like I said, special teams is my jam. So I spent a lot of time with those guys.
Well, let's talk about special teams.
There you go.
So since you watch them the majority of the time, what are your thoughts? What are these skill players going to be able to bring to the game this year?
Yeah, I'll start off with Ethan Craw, my Aussie counterpart. He's a lefty. He's probably going to be a lot better punter than I was. But, yeah, he's got so much talent, can put the ball wherever he likes. And, yeah, he's got a little younger than me too, got a massive leg. I'm really excited for him, great kid. I think we'll be more than fine as far as punting goes. Hopefully he doesn't get too many opportunities.
So did he play footy back?
No, he's actually, his story is a little different to the typical Aussie punter who comes over. His dad played college golf at Alabama.
Golf?
Yeah, college golf. Okay, all right. Ethan got sent over here for boarding school when he was 16. Actually played, took up basketball and, like, showed me some of his highlight tapes and stuff. And he was, like, dunking on kids at 16 and he'd never played before. And I was like, dude, I think you got in the wrong sport. But, he decided, he went to a smaller school, I think, for basketball and decided he wanted to get an opportunity to go and play, you know, Division I football and went home and trained. And he's just, like, super athletic and, yeah, he's gonna do so well.
So dad's a golfer. He's a basketball player. So naturally, he's a punter.
Yeah, something like that. It's usually, there's usually some sort of weird stuff going on with Australians and kicking a ball around, so.
You said it, I didn't.
Tell us about Kyle.
Yeah, Kyle's going to be really good. Got a massive leg, very accurate, very consistent. I think, yeah, guys are going to be very impressed to see Kyle on game days. Good head on his shoulders. Yeah, I'm really excited for him too. I think the kicking game's actually in really good hands. Spent a lot of time with Coach Tomerdahl and, you know, he's still, like, he'll call me once a week and just goes, what do you think? Like, just kind of asking me what my feedback is and stuff. I'm like, you got a really talented group of guys and, you know, they're young. Kyle's got a very big future in
football. Kyle's
a
freshman, yeah.
Yeah, true freshman, you know, starting on kickoff and field goal. I'd be very surprised if he doesn't go a long way with kicking. He's a freak.
Nice. What do you think his range is right now?
He's powerful. I wouldn't be surprised if he's hitting, you know, 60 yarders. He's got a cannon on him. For a kid that is 18, like, once he figures out the gym and Coach Carr starts stacking some muscle on him, look out.
He's 6'2", 205, so I don't know how much more muscle you want to get on him. But
yeah, he's solid, though. He's got a little puppy fat on him. He'll he's definitely going to grow in his body. He's probably got more room to grow, honestly. Like,
I think that'll be the title for this week, by the way.
I might get in trouble for that.
It's okay. It's only the internet that hears these things. It's okay. Nobody will know.
Am I going to get canceled?
Yeah. Not for that. Oh, no.
Did you say he's lefty?
Ethan, the punter, is a lefty, and then Kyle's right-footed.
Does he kick with a shoe on or off?
He kicks with a shoe on.
Okay.
Yep.
Nice.
Just wanted to know that because Royce Huffman's the only guy I've known who ever done that in TCU history, to my knowledge. And he was a
you
Hall
think,
of Famer.
You think he was the only one in TCU history?
That I know of.
Royce?
Royce.
Huh. Okay, I didn't
we
know
gotta
that.
Look that one up because that's the only one. You know
I would have to, I don't know, I would have to, you know.
And he did pretty good, so.
I was never the historian. Wes was always the historian, but yeah. I don't remember any other. You may be right, because I don't recall any other.
I saw him today, matter of fact. I'll ask him this weekend. But that's just, you know, I thought I heard him say that. I was going to say, he's going to be a good punter regardless.
Yeah, that's
hard to do.
That's going to be fun. Well, you know, it's always nice to have another Australian on the team. Yeah. So, okay. Well, it looks like, you know, from the depth chart, from fall camp, expectations seem to be doing good. This team seems to be kind of gelling earlier on is kind of what I'm getting out of the locker room. There's, the normal kind of like lead up jitters that you normally find, you know, before the season. So it's going to be interesting to see how these guys take on their first game. And of course, we all want TCU to do really, really well this season. So before we start talking about week one, let's talk about season expectations.
All right.
Where do you guys see this team finishing at the end of the season, given the fact that we're voted to finish 10th in the Big 12? Now, in years past, that would have been last place, but now there's 16 teams. So it's not last place, but 10th place out of the conference. Shannon, where do you think we're going to end up?
Not 10th. I'm not gonna go there because I can't. You know, I can't take my mind there based off us going from a, you know, obviously the national championship game 2 years ago to not doing so hot last year. So we get all that Patterson team crap out of the way. Then what happened the year after that to a point where we have Sonny Dykes' team. This is now Sonny's team. There's no excuses.
100%.
There's none of that crap in the way. And so for me, this is a true first year for Sonny to me. That's how I'm going to look at it. With his players, his recruits, all that kind of stuff. Now, with all that being said, listen, Utah's going to be a hard game. Kansas State will be a hard game. Do we even play Kansas State? I'm sorry.
No, we don't.
We play Kansas.
We play Kansas. You know, I'm not too worried about that. Obviously, you still have to play Texas Tech, Baylor. I think we can beat those guys. I mean, this is our conference to lose. It really is. And so, you know, I may have us, you know, are you asking me to pick or just ask me how we think?
No, I want a final win and loss. I want to know how many wins, how many losses. Where do you think we end up?
Oh, man.
I'm not looking for you to say, oh, well, we'll finish third in the nation after
well,
the
Well, well, listen, we'll finish.
What do you think, win-loss?
Listen, I think we'll knock.
How many wins? What's the ceiling for this team?
Eight.
Eight wins. Eight.
Okay. I've had that in my head the whole time. Eight. I give us eight wins. We have to win.
Do you think eight? You're like we will win eight, or you think the ceiling is eight?
Listen, no, we got to win eight games. We have to win eight games, and whatever comes after that, gravy.
Okay.
This team, you know, listen. I've said this with a couple guys. Won't name any names that I hung out with on my birthday. If you're on social media, you'll see who those guys were. But I will say
follow Shannon on Instagram.
I will say this. Because of what happened with Coach Patterson and where we are now, Sonny Dykes is on the chopping board, can be on the chopping board after this year if he don't do what he needs to do.
We're not
that same TCU anymore. We're not there anymore. And I say that, in all seriousness, because Coach Patterson was here maybe a couple years too long because of the love and all the things that we felt for him. Let's just be honest. Well, when you get rid of that and you can go through that and everything is okay and everybody's past that, well, the new guy who hadn't really brought anything here yet, if he doesn't produce sooner than later, we're that type of club now, I believe. We've got to look for that guy who can get us there ASAP because we deserve it. We've been waiting for years, and we are trying to get back to the Natty and win it, not just get there. So eight games, we've got to win eight games.
Okay, eight games. And I don't necessarily disagree with Sonny being on the hot seat. I don't know if it's that hot. But
not at all.
I mean, the fact that you've known some people with the last job search committee or coach search committee, so you kind of have a more of an inside track than I do on those sort of
things. I'll put it like this. If he wins six games or less, you see how hot his ass lights up.
Fair enough. Can't disagree with that. Jordy, where do you think we end up?
Well, let me start off by saying I think, like Shannon said, our expectations are really high at this school. You know, we expect to be good. And, yeah, last season was unacceptable. I think you're going to see a totally different TCU team this year, and I wouldn't be surprised to see us win 9 or 10 games. I genuinely think that.
Yeah.
That's kind of where I'm at.
Yeah.
I'm kind of in that 9, 10 kind of a range. I think 8 games is entirely possible in this season, right?
Yeah.
And I can see where you're coming from, Shannon, because if you can't get to 8, with this team and this schedule, you know, there's going to be a lot of questions that have to be answered in the offseason. And, the seat may be getting really, really hot at that point in time. But I'm with Jordy. I've been thinking the same thing, 9-10 wins. I think the ceiling for this team is 10. I don't think I see an 11-1 season in our cards at this point. But I think 10 wins could conceivably get you into the Big 12 championship game.
Yeah.
Right?
Absolutely.
Could get you at least into that talk. And possibly even talk of outside shot of a playoff berth.
Yeah, with 12,
right?
Yeah.
But I think the most important thing this season is get more than enough wins to make it to a bowl game.
Yep.
Right? I don't think the bare minimum is gonna cut it here. I think you need to win 7-8 games preferably, right? Get into a bowl game for sure. And like you said, anything above that is obviously gravy, but I really do think this team has a ceiling of about 10 games this year.
I agree with you. And again, what I'm saying, we've got to win at least 8. Now, I hope we can win 9-10 games, but we just can't, in my opinion, based off last year's season, it'd be great. It'd be more than great. It'd be comfortable. Sunny, you know, again, then, you know, you win 8-plus games off last year. Now, you know, you have no problems. You have no worries. You know,
right.
We just didn't have a great season, but you won 8 games. You're bowl eligible. But I tell you, if it gets underneath that, man, it just won't be good. And the Frog fans, I'm telling you, it's going to be an uproar.
Yeah, it's going to be an interesting season for sure. And, you know, we do miss some of the new Big 12 participants. So we're not going to be able to play this season Arizona State, BYU, Colorado. And, of course, we're missing our perennial teams, Iowa State, Kansas State, and West Virginia. And, you know, out of those particular teams, I wish we could play West Virginia every year because coming into the Big 12 together, I kind of feel like we have a bit of a kinship. But overall, it's going to be interesting to see. There's a lot of really good games still left on the schedule for us, especially some of the ones that are ranked right now. I do think one of the games that's going to cause us a little bit of trouble later on, what we'll talk about, even though they looked absolutely terrible in the first game, is SMU.
Oh.
I think if they figure out the quarterback situation there, I think that's going to be one to kind of circle, and that is a must-win game.
Yes,
I will put it on the on there right now. That has to be a win this season. So, it will be interesting to see how things kind of shape up this season for the Frogs. But it looks like we're between 8 to 10 wins among the panel here. So I think that's going to be really good. But you know, to get to 8, to get to 9, to get to 10, you have to win one, right? So tomorrow. When this broadcast is broadcast on Friday night, TC is going to take on Stanford in California.
Yes.
Several people here in the audience are picking up a flight early in the morning to go out and cheer on the Frogs. And this will be the fourth time TCU plays the Trees.
Yep.
And I'll just call them the Trees. And it's going to be interesting. TCU has a 3-0 record against Stanford. Last time we met the Stanford Cardinals, was in the Alamo Bowl. They dissed Whataburger.
Yep.
did not endear themselves to the Texas fans down in San Antonio, who roundly booed them. And then they were forced to stop on the way home, at least the band, to at least try Whataburger. So that was a very interesting storyline that came out of that game. What do you all think about this game against Stanford? What are your expectations for this game? And how do you think the Frogs come away with a win? Shannon?
Well, listen, as I said earlier, it's, you know, just being an ex-player long, long time ago, you know, when you had those games where teams, you know, beat you, I remember, you know, Rice comes to mind, and Rice beat us, if you remember, 3 years in a row until our senior year.
Yep.
And we just couldn't win for whatever.
A lot of us beat us back then, man.
And so our senior year, we said enough's enough, like enough's enough. You know, and we dialed in at practice, I remember, and we focused every day. We had the best week ever, and we beat the snot out of them. You know, it was just that whole thing. It's like, look, man, they're not going to beat us a fourth time. So with all that being said, if we're ready to play, without hearing all the crap we've heard all week, bad practices, this and that, again, that I'd say if it gets out of the locker room, then it's that news is for us and not them. Listen, Stanford – I don't think they're returning much. I have to say, I don't know how.
They haven't the last couple of seasons.
You know,
for sure.
It's hard for me. Listen, I think that's the thinking process for these guys, especially the seniors or whoever you know may be. But just because of that's what they need something to latch on to play us. They need that, right? And so, listen, we'll handle them, I believe. But if we don't come out and play the first quarter, I think they're going to give us their best shot then, and then we'll probably get our stuff together at halftime and come out and beat the crap out of them. But I just wish we'd handle this team four straight quarters and be done with them.
So you're saying this could be Stanford's kind of Super Bowl right out of the gate?
Right out of the gate, because they're looking for – listen, if I'm their head coach, that's what I'd say. That's what I'd do. I try to rally the troops. I'll listen. You know, this team has beat us four times in a row. You know, I don't care if how many years it's been. We need to beat this team. We need to find something to fight for, which is 0-3 record at Stanford, and try to come out and beat these guys.
Yeah, it wouldn't surprise me if they've had tape of that Alamo Bowl kind of playing in the background.
Oh, sure they
nonstop.
Do. Sure they do.
During fall camp for Stanford. Jordy, what do you think?
Their band.
I don't know. Their band's pretty obnoxious, so I don't think the band really cares what they're going to do. But yeah, Jordy, what do you think?
Yeah, I think regardless of what's going on, what we've been hearing, locker room, whatever, I guarantee these guys will be ready to play. Just the feeling and stuff around TCU right now, there's a bad taste in everybody's mouth from last year, and I know for a fact these guys are ready to go out and show, you know, what they're capable of, and put it all out in the park. I'm hoping we start fast. That's a big thing for us that we really try to focus on is starting fast, and I think that's really important in those early games. You know, really set the standard for the rest of the season. So. Yeah, I'd expect us to take care of Stanford and then, really keep it rolling. Throughout those early games especially, I think it's really important to set the tone for the season.
Yeah, I wholeheartedly agree. I think this team needs to think about coming out and just going for the jugular right out of the gate, right? Especially with a team like Stanford. You don't want to give them any hope whatsoever. You don't want to keep them around. You want to take them down as quickly as possible. Take your first possession, run down, score. Take their first possession and shove it down their throats, right? And control the game from the get-go. And I think from that perspective, that's kind of where TCU's mindset needs to be with every game. And we haven't done that in many, many years, right? Even the year where we went to the national championship game, we let some teams kind of stick around a lot longer than they should have. Right? And that kind of was the MO towards kind of like the waning years of the Patterson era. And unfortunately, that kind of came back in last year in a big way. And I think if that mindset can change with this team, like I said, I think the ceiling there is 10 wins. I think they can actually make it. Yeah. But it starts here with Stanford. If we let these guys kind of stick around, I'm with you, Shannon. We beat them three times. Right? They're not going to want us to come in, especially in their own home, and beat them a fourth time. Yeah. And I think that, to some degree, kind of makes them slightly dangerous. Now, I don't think on paper Stanford matches up really well against TCU. True. Do you?
No, not at all. Again, it's just that first week of it's football for everybody. Everybody's excited. They're going to have excited fans. They're ready to play. Everybody's ready to play. It's who's going to come and focus in and zero in on the task at hand, and that's the opponent across from them, and go ahead and handle business. On paper, we should kick these guys all over the field. That's just it is what it is. But unfortunately, the paper don't play. We have to step out there and play. You know, the guys have to put their pads on and go out there and push people around and take care of business. It'd be good to just see for a change. First game out of the gate, we just handle business. Like, we just take care of them, and everybody has a great first week, and then we worry about next week. So that's really what I want to see. I hope we come out that we're focused, we're ready to go. Sonny has these guys fired up, ready to play. We handle our business for four straight quarters, maybe three. You know what I mean? Fourth quarter doesn't mean anything at that point.
Well, so hopefully not.
Hopefully. That's what I'm saying, hopefully.
And maybe we'll see Henny in the fourth quarter. That'd be great.
It'd be great. That'd be really great. So, again, I'm excited for it like everybody else. And, again, you just don't want to give Stanford any more than what they have coming in, being that they've lost three times in a row over the years.
Jordy, how do you think this game is going to play out? What do you think the final prediction, final score is going to be?
I expect us to put up a lot of points, honestly. Let's go, I don't know, 45-21.
45-21, I like that. All right. Shannon, what do you think?
Well, based off, and I hadn't really thought about this, but because I've looked at some stats from Stanford over the years, we should put up some points. Especially from what I've heard about Josh, Mr. Hoover. And so I'm going to go, you know, 49. Listen, I don't want to give up 21. I'll give them 10 points. I'll give them 10. I want our defense.
I mean, I like that score.
But listen, it's Stanford, and I get it. And I told you they're 0-3. But then again, their offense, they don't do much. You know, and what our defense is built around right now, we should shut these boys out. And I think they actually get that 10 points later in the game.
Well, coming off of a 3-9 record, and they didn't do much the year before that or the year before that. I think, actually, TCU probably broke Stanford in that Alamo Bowl because they haven't really done much since. I really do think that, again, like you said, paper don't play. But on paper, these two teams aren't even close to one another.
Right.
Even with everything that TCU went through last season, even with a couple of key injuries to the TCU secondary, I still think I'm with you. I don't feel like the Stanford offense is really going to be able to put up a lot of numbers. I do like your 49-10, though. I mean, everyone usually calls me the optimistic picker on this team, but I mean, that's really, really good. And I agree with Jordy. I see us scoring a lot of points. So I'm going to be a little bit more...
realistic?
I don't know about realistic.
Conservative.
Let's just say reserved. Let's say reserved. I'm going to say 38-9.
Is that halftime score? Or?
Yeah. 38-9, I think, is what it's going to end up being. I think I will give their place kicker 3 field goals.
Yep.
There you go. So I think this defense is going to surprise a lot of people this year. I think that if the offensive line can gel and do well for the Frogs and give Hoover enough protection and open up a couple of running lanes, I think this offense is going to run over everybody this season. I think it's going to be a very interesting, very, very interesting season. But there's a lot of question marks that we got to answer. And, of course, it's all going to start on Friday night against Stanford.
Yep.
So thank you all very much. That will do us for tonight. Thank you for joining the Killer Frogs on the start of another wonderful season. You can catch us every week. Thank you. Thank you. As you could. One thing I neglected to mention at the very beginning is that we are back live weekly. Yes, we're at the Hyatt Place on Berry Street, TCU. And so it's right by campus. So if you find yourself on Thursday night, you want to come on down and join us. We have, there's a bar.
Come drink some beers.
Come have a drink with us, guys.
Yeah, it's fantastic. And happy hour tacos. So you can't beat that deal, right? It's fantastic. It's awesome. All right. Well, thank you all again for joining us in the Killer Frogs. You can, of course, find the Killer Frogs at killerfrogs.com. Of course, you can find us on all the major social media that are out there. And we have now come to the end of the podcast. It's the time where we get our frogs up and we get to say...
Go Frogs!